story of Cyrus H.K. Curtis. Born on the 18th of June, 1850, Curtis early gave promise of the brilliant business acumen that made him a leader in the publishing field. Starting with 3 cents in his hometown of Portland, Maine, he sold newspapers until he had saved enough to publish his own weekly, Young America. We find Curtis and his young partner homeward bound at the close of a long day.
Well, Gene, we've been publishing Young America for 6 weeks now. The circulation's getting bigger with every issue.
Yep. And Cyrus, by the end of the year, we're going to clear enough to more than break even.
Well, I'm not content to merely break even.
Fire!
Fire! I wonder what's burning. Must be a big one. Here comes the other company.
It'd be funny if it was our shop.
Yeah. Downtown someplace. Look, you can see the flames from here.
Let's go, Cy.
No, I'm late for dinner.
Hey, Cy Curtis,
your printing office is on fire.
What? Hurry up.
Come on, team, let's go.
Yeah.
Well, Gene, there goes our weekly. Can't possibly save it. The whole building's on fire.
Cy, what do we do?
I don't know.
Hey, you got an insurance, Cy?
Not a dime's worth.
Ah, too bad, kid.
What are we going to do, Cy?
Well, I'm going home.
Gee, we've lost every cent we've made. We're broke.
I won't be. Well, not for long, anyway. I'll start another weekly, but not here. This is my cue to move on.
Why?
Well, Portland's too small. I'm going somewhere where there's more opportunity. I'm going to Boston.
Undaunted, he arrived in Boston, and on nothing more than a few dollars and a promise, laid the foundation for what was to become the great Curtis Publishing Company. The promise was one made by a man Cyrus took as his partner. Together, they bought a paper called the Public Ledger, a weekly. For a while, the publication trotted along on insufficient financial funds. Then, the promised support not forthcoming from his partner, Curtis had called him to his office.
Gordon, we've been in business now for about 6 months. You promised that you'd have the money to enable us to continue. Where's the $20,000?
Well, I thought I'd have it, for sure.
You never had $20,000, never expected to have it, and never will.
Now, wait a minute. I'll tell you what I'll do, Curtis. I'll sell out to you for $600.
Why, you haven't put a thin dime into the ledger and a lot less effort. I've written the stories, I've set the press, I've put the paper to bed. I've done everything there is to do. Thornton, you're going to resign and turn your chair over to me.
I deserve some consideration here, after
here,
all.
Here, sign this.
But, I'll see here. You're forcing me
against... On this line. And now, good day.
Curtis, this is an outrage.
Charlie Allen.
Yes, Curtis, I demand that you give me something.
Allen, Mr. Thornton has resigned. Show him up.
Yes. Well, I'll go, but you'll regret this.
Yes. Unfortunately, I'm no better off than I was before. The paper needs money, badly.
Oh, we ought to pull out of it, sir.
And we will. But what will I use to pay you your salary, Charlie?
Oh, don't you worry. You write the paper, Curtis. I'll print it. And pay me when you can.
From the earnings of the weekly, Curtis purchased the first of three successful magazines, the Ladies' Home Journal, and the circulation was quickly boosted to 1 million, 2 million, and on to 3 million. Then Curtis, with unerring sense, engaged Edward Box, under whose hand the Journal became America's best-selling magazine. Casting about for a companion magazine, Curtis found a small, unknown weekly. He has sent for the owner and is waiting with Box in his office.
Cyrus, I can't understand. You've had enough warning not to buy this defunct magazine. Why, it's only got a circulation of 1,000. No one ever heard of it. Besides, another weekly just won't go.
Besides the magazine I've got in mind, Will, I'm going to give the public the best. I'm going to discuss business and discuss it sanely. There's a wealth of romance in business if you look for it.
But how are you going to finance it?
From the profits of the Ladies' Home Journal, and every dime I've got goes into it. Hello, Betty.
Good morning, Mr. Curtis. And hello, Mr.
Well, Betty, let's get down to business. What do you want for the magazine?
As a matter of fact, Mr. Curtis, I'm not particularly interested in selling the magazine. It's a matter of sentiment. You see, Mr. Curtis, the copyright's been in our family for a number of years, and I'd like to hang on.
You didn't Benjamin Franklin found the magazine?
Yes. That's another reason why I'd rather not sell, but I might consider your investing in my magazine.
Just a minute, Greg. I don't want to buy stock. I'm going to buy the magazine.
I said it's not for sale.
Brady, you inherited that magazine. You've not invested one red cent in it or an hour's work. You know nothing about the business. You don't have $100 worth of paper or type. Have you got the money to publish this weekly issue?
I don't wish to put up my personal file.
Then I advise you to sell it. Because under the law, Mr. Brady, if your magazine misses one publication, the name is no longer copyrighted in the patent office. You probably know that much about it.
Well, how much for the magazine, then?
When is the deadline on publication?
In a day or so.
Peanuts. Come on, Brady. Doesn't the magazine have to be on the newsstand by 2 tomorrow afternoon?
Yes.
Well, that's a fast order, but I'm willing to gamble on it. I'll give you $1,000 for the name, the copyright, what type you have, and paper. Good. The contract will be ready this afternoon. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Well, the Curtis Company owns another magazine.
Yeah, you can call it that.
Yes, we've got to have it on the stand in 24 hours.
Oh, impossible.
No. We'll have it on the stand by noon tomorrow. Come on, down to the press room. Have 1,000 copies of a new magazine on the stands by 12 tomorrow. Can you do it?
Oh, what? Well, no, I don't think so, sir.
Well, I do. What have you got on the rolls now?
It's the journal.
Yank it.
Yes?
Well, what are you going to do, Kurt?
What are you taking off your coat for?
I'm going to work. I'll show you how to get a magazine out.
Oh, I think you're going back.
Yeah? Charlie, get me a pair of overalls.
You're not going to work down here.
Yes, I am.
Charlie, better get me a pair, too.
Call all the men together. I want to talk to you.
Yes, sir. Hey, everybody over here.
All right, boys. Boys, the Curtis Publishing Company has bought another magazine, and it's got to be on the newsstand by tomorrow at noon.
Oh, noon?
Well, can we do it? All right.
We'll have to hurry, though.
All right. The format will be here in an hour, Jake. Get it and set it up. Charlie, take your men and heat up the lead pot. Abel, order up the paper, enough for 1,000 copies. Now, give me a couple of men, Charlie, and we'll sort tight. Now, has everyone got his job straight?
Hey, Chief, what's the name of this magazine?
The Saturday Evening Post.
All that day, Silas Curtis labored with his men. At midnight, the presses began to roll, and on they worked through the hours of night and into the dawn of the next day. Finally, the magazine was ready for the stands at 11 in the morning. The story of the phenomenal rise of the Saturday Evening Post is history. In 1911, Curtis bought the moribund Country Gentleman and made it another great weekly. Then he entered the newspaper field and in 1914 opened negotiations with Adolph Ox of the New York Times for the purchase of the Philadelphia Public Ledger. Interesting indeed was the final closing of the transaction.
Yeah. Hello, Curtis. Come in, Ox. Just having a little game of solitaire.
Oh, so you play solitaire, huh? When do you find time?
Whenever I have to think. Ever try it? Next to my organ music, in the yard, it's my favorite pastime.
Wait a minute. Here's a red pen.
Mm-hmm. Where'd it go?
And this black dirt. There. Gonna win it, I think. Gonna fill me the ledger up?
Well, not all of it, Curtis. My brother and I have decided that we'll give you a controlling interest. Say, how about that seven there? Why not on the eight?
Oh, both red. I don't want the ledger unless I own it lock, stock, and barrel.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you 51% of the stock and at an attractive price.
No, I think I'm going to beat old man Solitaire this time.
Mm-hmm. How many cards you got left?
Three.
I hardly think my brother will be interested. After all, he's been editor of... Say, can't you put that pile of cards there, on this pile?
Well, can. Who told you couldn't play solitaire? What about your brother?
George wouldn't want to give up his post on the paper. You know, he's been the editor for 10 years.
10 years, eh? Well, I don't know much about newspapers. Tell you what I'll do, though. I'll keep him as editor for 2 years and give him an option. Now, where am I going to put this now?
On that 10.
That will play.
My brother's probably be interested in your proposition.
All right. 2 million's my price. Oh. I'm going to win this game, Ox.
Send my lawyers down tomorrow.
First game I've won all week. I'll have the papers ready at 10.
Gee, I might take up this game myself.
Good idea. Sort of helps a man to think.
A few years later, he bought the other Philadelphia paper, and then the New York Evening Post. With this tremendous reading public, Curtis became a great civilizer, awakening Americans to new enjoyments, new standards of taste, of better ways and better things. Cyrus H. K. Curtis, publisher, philanthropist, captain of industry.